From WNYC in New York, this is NPR's On the Media. Brooke Gladstone is out this week. I'm Bob Garfield. On August 9th, the Dow Jones Industrial Average plunged 387 points on worries about defaults on so-called subprime mortgage loans. The panic was palpable.
Good evening. In plain English, the wings fell off Wall Street earlier today, and as the Dow Jones plunged
387 points, problems in the subprime mortgage market
today after Asian and European
global
markets fell overnight. This after yesterday's
credit crisis sent the Dow down 387 points.
Financial stories have a hard time reaching the headlines, but sometimes it's easy. Dow up, good. Dow down, bad. Sure enough, a few days later, when central banks intervened and the U.S. Fed cut interest rates, stocks rebounded, the media expressed relief, and went on to browner pastures. But in failing to see the crisis coming and in quickly losing interest, was the media coverage of the subprime fiasco subprime? Dean Baker, co-director of the Center for Economic and Policy Research, thinks so. The breathless reporting on market gyrations, he says, overshadowed the underlying problems.
Well, basic story of a subprime mortgage are that these are people getting mortgages who don't have good credit ratings. And what's going on is there's been a real explosion in the issuance of subprime mortgages over the last 5 or 6 years. There have been subprime for some time, but they were generally a very small segment, 2, 3, 4% of the market. That just exploded so that subprime mortgages account for 25% of all mortgages in 2006.
But it was no secret before 2 weeks ago when the Dow Jones went on the skids. Where was the reporting about the danger of subprime mortgages till now?
Well, it was largely lacking. I mean, there were a few good stories here and there, and I'll single out the New York Times for having done some pieces about the subprime market and the risk it posed. But for the most part, the media was ignoring this, and it was a mass phenomenon. I mean, this was, as I say, hundreds of thousands, millions of subprime mortgages being issued. Clearly, there's hundreds of billions of dollars of that debt out there, and that's now going bad at a very rapid rate.
You would have thought the dot-com bubble of the late 90s would have taught the financial press some lessons. How could they have failed to see the real estate bubble and the effects of bad loans?
In effect, they bought the story that this is different. They bought the optimism of the real estate industry that this was a good thing, that house prices were going through the roof, that many low-income people that previously couldn't get homes were now buying them. This was all treated as a positive without noting any of the risks associated. We actually did an exit search in 2005, 2006. The major source in news reporting on housing was David Lira, who's the chief economist with the National Association of Realtors, and he actually wrote a book about why the housing boom will not bust and how you could profit from it. Now, you know, I don't object to anyone talking to David Lira. He's a very knowledgeable person about housing. But the idea that he would be your sole source, which he was in many, many cases, that's just irresponsible reporting.
All right, now let's come back to the current situation. The markets seem to have stabilized after the central banks intervened and the U.S. Fed cut the discount rates. What effect did that have? And more importantly, did it really solve any of the structural problems?
Well, what it does is it affects buys time. But the underlying problem is that you have, as I say, hundreds of billions. It could be over a trillion. You have an awful lot of bad debt in the form of mortgage-backed securities that is still being held. And my concern on all this is that if the point of buying time is to allow the people who are holding that bad debt to sell it off to others who might be less well-informed, that's not in any obvious way a good thing.
Do you have the sense that the fact that the NASDAQ and the Dow Jones average and the other major markets of the world recovered so much after the intervention of central banks, that the media sort of taken their eye off the ball and they say, well, this problem's solved. Let's just move on to hurricanes and the political campaigns?
They tend to focus on mayhem in the markets, and that's sort of an easy story to tell, that the markets went up 2% a given day. That's sort of an easy, simple story to tell, and you want the stock market to go up. That's kind of the theme of the story, and it's bad news when it goes down. The underlying story, and that's really what they should be focused on, is what's causing these gyrations in the market. And yeah, I very much worry that with the market, for the moment at least, being somewhat more settled today, that the underlying problem is going to be ignored.
Can we assume on any given day that the market goes up, that is unalloyed good, and the market goes down, that is bad? Is that assumption right to begin with?
No, not at all. I mean, you know, the market could be going up for a number of reasons. And one, let's say, is the good one. The economy's growing, and part of that story is that profits will be higher in the future. The market sees that, and stocks are going up. That, I think we could pretty much say, is a good story. On the other hand, profits might be going up for reasons that we may not think are good. Maybe workers are getting paid less. So if you own a lot of stock, of course, you're happy with that story. But if you're like most people and get most of your income from your wages, that's not particularly good news. So you probably shouldn't be cheering the Dow Jones in that case. And the third case is simply an irrational movement. And we saw that. That was the story of the bubble in the late 90s. So again, that was not, you know, particularly good unless, you know, the only people that was really good for were people who were speculating and smart enough to get out before the crash. But for the rest of us, it's very hard to see how that was a good thing.
Dean, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me on.
Dean Baker is co-founder and director of the Center for Economic and Policy Research in Washington, D.C.